Welcome to a February podcast. This is Michelle.
And this is Trevor, and we're broadcasting from my shed.
We are, which is actually really fabulous because normally in February you wouldn't be able to sit in a shed of an evening, but this is just gorgeous.
Well, you normally couldn't sit in this shed at any rate. I'm only sitting here because we've tied it up a bit.
Yeah, it looks magnificent. And we have a special guest today with the rooster in the background.
Sure.
And I think we're just going to leave him there because I actually really love the idea of having the roost. It's proof that we are truly in a garden.
And you can actually see out those windows, which you couldn't before.
Trevor has been very busy. The shed looks amazing. So tell us what inspired you to clean out the shed, Trevor. What happened?
Okay, well, this wasn't one of our topics, but we might make it one.
Yeah, make it one of your topics.
Well, I have dreams at times, and one of the things I dreamt about was that, why the hell can't I tidy up my shed? Because all I really do is gardening, and the answer is that you can't really just do gardening. You have to build fences and paths and pergolas and trellises, which means you need a few tools and a few materials stockpiled. And when you get a few, you get a few more because you've got to do drainage and paving. And then you've got to do a bit of cement mixing because you've got to build a sump and fix it in with concrete. And so your tools keep building up. In fact, you know, you start out a gardener, but then people notice that you've got all these other tools and they start calling you a handyman as well, you know. And before you know it, you're doing all sorts of things that have nothing to do with gardening, but you end up with a shed. I think every bloke has a shed.
Every bloke. My auntie's just made a she shed.
Every person has
a shed. That's, apparently that's the rage. So she's made a she shed up in Kenton Valley for her retirement.
Like,
fabulous, apparently. People
working or not?
Yes,
working.
Yes. The family are going up there to visit the she shed. So we're very... Auntie Marianne, she listens to our podcast, so the she shed.
Mm.
Mind you, like I said to you before, my experience with the shed was that I do love a good clean shed.
Yeah.
But I cleaned mine out recently and the family went, isn't that fabulous? You must want things in there. So I have now got storage and you know, the bookshelf that someone might need eventually, and now my shed is all full again.
Yeah, I know. That's how it was. I am throwing out, you know, you keep the cardboard box from the TV set because you might need to return it and all that sort of thing. I'll throw all that out now because this is about a 1 in 10 year clean out, so this is a big one.
I'm very impressed.
But I said when we did our first program, how do you get started with a garden? Well, I lied a bit.
You did.
I said you need a fork and a shovel, but that's not true.
No, I'm sitting here with proof that you need, that you have more. I love a shed, but we digress, but I do love a shed. We could segue to, and you have a lawnmower there, and what would you need a lawnmower for, Trevor?
Well, to be honest, I haven't got a lawn.
No.
But I do a lot of mowing because I mow the big sticks to put on the compost, and I've got about an acre of land that has to be kept fireproof. But you were thinking more in terms of playing tennis and bowls.
I know.
Beautiful green surface.
Where is the Wimbledon lawn so that we can do that? We were actually going to talk about lawns this podcast, people, because the last podcast I was talking to Trevor that my son has just recently moved into a rental property and he's like revitalizing the lawn, and he's actually having this really wonderful time doing it. And lawns kind of get a bit of a bad rap, but I think when you've got kids, they're essential. And I don't mind a nice-ish lawn. It can keep the house a bit cool. And, you know, people seem to be very proud of their lawns, Trevor.
Yeah.
I see people very proudly.
Well, one of your friends, I remember, up at Williamstown on the Oval there that day, she was boasting how she invited her father around to look at the lawn. This was a daughter who was proudly showing her father how good a lawn was. And there was a time, of course, everyone had lawns.
Yeah.
Had front and back lawns. They had a back lawn around the clothesline and a front lawn just to chop with the neighbours over the fence with. It was all important, but I think space has got a bit less and water's got a bit less. And you're right, though, it's still a beautiful place to roly-poly with your kids and play with your dogs and your cat. And you actually, if you've got dogs and your cats, the garden might not be successful anyway, so a lawn might be the best.
Well, I went to a lovely 21st last night. It was on a farm, but sort of close to the house, they just happened to have lawn and they've kept that going. And it was utterly delightful to just, we just had rugs out in the evening and cushions and it was just like a giant picnic. And I can see here you've got all these different kinds of lawns. People just think of one thing, but there's actually lots of different types of...
I don't know that people do think that way. I think people investigate their lawn pretty thoroughly. I don't think it's...
They're not like me.
Oh, well, I mean, if you've got a cooch lawn there and established, you're not going to change it, are you?
No, I've tried, believe me.
If you've got a piece of soil where you've got the choice, well, then you go and you visit people because you can actually get instant turf and stuff like that now. Planting from seed is a problem, but it is becoming the time when you do it. You prepare the soil deeply by forking it over and add quite a bit of nitrogenous fertiliser because it is, after all, a grass and that is basically nitrogen. So it doesn't fruit or anything, so it doesn't need the potassium and the phosphate. So you just give it mainly nitrogen. You dig it deep and you water it deep as well. I mean, I think you can have low-maintenance lawns where you do nothing but just mow it, and mow it high in summer. You mow it, well, 50 mils the lowest you'd want to mow it, but you can have it up to 150 mil high, so it can be a grassland, you know.
Yeah.
And you were saying, too, that, I don't know, it was Prince Charles or someone had a thyme lawn, and there's a wildflower meadow, and there's a whole lot of wider definitions of what you can put in a lawn, as long as the bees don't bite your kids or something like that.
Yeah, you can, I guess I think sometimes of a lawn as just really low ground cover. So even some of the beautiful native ground covers can work. But you're right, they're flowering. I remember as kids, I don't know what lawn it would have been, we had the little white flowers and then invariably you'd get stung because, you know, despite the fact that your mother told you not to go outside barefoot, you would anyway.
So that it could be...
Buffalo maybe, the quite like buffalo grass. And I've tried growing thyme lawn, but it was not very successful. It's very delicate. And I don't have time for delicate things in my garden. I need robust things that can survive neglect.
Well, I think most of them are quite cute, buffalo or cooch, because they are so tough and you don't need to water too much. And that is probably a good move. There are other ones. There is bluegrass and fescue. I did do fescue and I kept it going bloody well, but eventually we had a 2 or 3 year drought and that the cost of watering it was too much. So.
I think that's it with lawns. People think, oh, don't want to water it, it costs heaps. But to be honest, if you let it die back to nothing, you end up with just dirt and topsoil, and if that blows away, that's not good either. You know, that doesn't keep you cool. So think about maintaining it, because it will keep the house cool a bit too if you're close to the house. And look, there's nothing more fun than playing on the lawn.
No, you can do all sorts of things on the lawn. We used to play shuttlecock, and I mean, we have had lawns in the past, and up in the Adelaide Hills where it is easier to grow lawns because it's wetter and colder. But if you want them to be pretty well perfect, and everyone does, well, then you do have to come back yearly and put the fork in, aerate them a bit, take the thatch off the top, because as you're mowing, all the dry stuff drops down between the things and clogs up the pores, which means the rain doesn't get in, and then give them a bit of a fertiliser once a year just before the growing season, which is usually spring.
I remember once, I think it might have been a neighbour, when we were kids, he had, they were probably golf shoes or something, but they were shoes with spikes on the end, and he would just walk up and down the lawn and cause all these spikes. And we just thought that was so excellent. Like, and it was actually really very clever. Then he'd look after it and mow it. And
with the fork, though, you're supposed to shove it in and then wiggle it around a bit so you get a much more aerated situation than running over it in your footy tops.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. This was a long time ago. So there you go, lawn. I think give it, I don't know, don't poo-poo it until you've
given it a try. Well, people are going to ignore us anyway, even if we did say poo-poo.
Yeah, that's true, that's
because
true.
Because people are well entrenched into having a lawn, and in a way, if you just have to mow it, that's a lot easier than running a garden.
True. I think what I love is I love that there seems to be the real lawn gardener, and I appreciate their real obsession with, and I look at that, my cousin's another one where he loves to mow the lawn and then he does the edges perfectly, and then, you know, usually there's an invariable, I have mowed the lawn, and you go, okay, well, I didn't know he's mowed the lawn, I wasn't there for a week beforehand, I haven't got a clue what it looked like. But, you know, and then you see people driving past pulling out their tiny little weeds in the lawn. So there's something about lawn culture that I find interesting. Yeah, which is a bit different to the kind of gardening
that we
you and I
about.
Do.
I know a lot of men are very, very good at mowing and edging and all that sort of thing. I've popped in a fair bit of lucerne. I haven't shown you yet, but there's three patches of lucerne, and that is a kind of lawn. It is high nitrogenous fertiliser. It's just a bit rough to walk on in bare feet, so one of the properties of lawn usually is that you want to walk around on bare feet, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that's true.
So if you wanted just a green patch to keep cool, lucerne's very good because it's so deep rooting, you know,
yeah.
Down 3 metres or something. Yeah, I have planted lucerne. There's a lot of things you can plant now. We spoke a bit about this last week when we were talking about the other summer crops, but they were all season crops mainly.
Yeah.
When you talk of winter plantings, which we're coming into that time now, the soil is warm enough, the rain is on its way, so a lot of people, particularly where you get cold winters, they have to get most of the growth before that winter hits, because once that winter hits, everything slows down. So you can put a lot of plants in seedling form, and you know, don't plant them out necessarily. Prepare your ground by all means. Put lime on the soil if you're going to plant. Well, probably sweet peas are one of the first crops you plant, actually.
March the 17th, plant your sweet peas.
Well, I've got the expert here. We've got an expert from Gawler here who's selling his own seed, which is very good. We'd love to buy local, don't we?
We do. We absolutely love to buy local.
And he says March and April, so you've got a fair time. But all the brassicas, which are the main winter crop, we talked about the main summer crops being the Mediterranean and the Three Sisters. Well, the main winter crops really are the brassicas, the cauliflower, cabbages, broccoli and Brussels sprouts. You'd agree with that, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. I tried broccolini last winter. That worked well enough that I will try that again. But I had great success with broccoli, not so much with cauliflower. But I prefer broccoli, but I do love cauliflower. But I love broccoli. It's that cut and come cut again.
Yeah.
But I had huge leaves, massive leaves.
Yeah.
And my cousin, who's become a gardener, we both had these massive leaves. So I kind of cut them all back brutally. And the plant sort of went, oh, you actually want some florets. So it did that. So that's a good thing to remember, because you think you're having these beautiful great big leaves, everything's great, but it's not actually.
They're all big plants. I mean, the cauliflower I buy.
Yeah.
Because I have grown it, but it's difficult because it needs so much fertilizer, it's so slow. And when it starts to flower, you've got to break the leaves and tie them over the top so it blanches. And
that's my Alfie used to do, yeah.
It's hard because underneath those leaves where you've tied it together, there's all sorts of pests that live happily there. So it's not easy growing cauliflower, but broccoli it is. And there's a lot of different sorts of broccoli. Like you say, there's the big-headed one, the green...
Green dragon, I think they call it.
And then the one that has all the florets on the side too. But so I haven't got the names of them. You can go and choose your own. But certainly broccoli is the best of them. And you can use it just about every meal, can't you?
Oh, absolutely. I love broccoli. My daughter-in-law loves broccoli. So we're quite happy to save, the pesto that I've saved in jars, because my basil's doing fabulously well. Keep them preserved. And broccoli, I love, love, love. Boil your pasta. When it's at a rolling boil, throw your broccoli florets in.
Yeah.
Like, keep it really simple.
Yeah.
Drain it, pesto, bit of parmesan, absolutely delicious. And another fantastic broccoli, here's me raving about all my recipes, but another fabulous, really easy broccoli is just broccoli tossed in soy sauce and garlic. In like you steam it slightly, toss it soy sauce and garlic, leave the store for the... Why do people not eat the stalks? It does my head in. The stalk is the best part. Then you just toss it through. But if you've got a broccoli from the garden, don't even boil it. Just toss it through and eat a great big bowl of this broccoli with just garlic and a bit of soy sauce on it. And, of course, the quintessential favourite is broccoli with cheese sauce. Like, you cannot not have broccoli with cheese sauce. And I actually make a soup because I had so much broccoli. And I made this gorgeous soup where you just saute the onions, put a little bit of ginger and garlic, put in your broccoli, put in your stock, but just cover it, blend it, and add coconut cream.
Blend it to nothing.
Blend your broccoli.
Into
green soup, and then you add your coconut cream.
Mm.
I'll tell you what, there is a vitamin kick.
No, I'm sure, but of course I've got one that's better.
Oh, what's yours that's better?
Well, you get peanut sauce.
Oh, Peanut sauce is always better. Is peanut sauce just anything with peanut sauce is always better. So what do? Just make a satay sauce.
Yeah, you put the rice on, you steam whatever greens you got, broccoli, and it's the most charming of them all, and beans are good too. Cabbage is supposed to be good, but it's not really that good. Cauliflower, good one. But all you do is, well, the way I do it, there's many ways of doing garlic butter, but I do the onions and the garlic, and then I put the peanut butter. Now, freshly ground peanuts are beautiful in the butter.
Oh, they're nice, aren't they? Yeah.
And you can just chop up peanuts in your kitchen whiz and put them in, but you put them in dry and then you add the water and you keep stirring until it turns to a sauce, and then you add your sweet and sour. You add lemon and sugar and sweet chili sauce and what's the other one? Anyway, there's four ingredients, two of them sweet, two of them bitter, and you just add them.
Yeah.
And that's your sauce. It's actually highly desirable in just about everything.
Yum. I love satay sauce.
Other people put ginger in too, and some people use pine nuts. I mean, they've really built up gado gado or peanut sauce as a
that's true. I love gado gado. That is so yummy. When I make the peanut sauce for gado gado, I'll add coconut cream to it just to make it a bit more dippy sort of thing.
With that one, I agree. Yeah. I'm not sure about your sautéed broccoli.
No, you probably wouldn't.
Just put proper cream in there.
cream, yeah. And all these slimming recipes come to you from two peas in a podcast. Yeah. Oh, no. So anyway, no one's got an excuse to not eat broccoli. They've got about 500
and
recipes.
And not grow it too. Certainly, if you're going to grow one thing in winter, lime the soil now, that's good for both sweet peas and broccoli. It takes a while for lime to work its way in. Always be organic, don't be tempted not to be.
No.
But add all your compost and manures in now too if you can. You really should be planning where to put it, and it takes a lot of space because, like Michelle mentioned, they grow big.
They do grow big, and sometimes the stalks are really long. I had to put some stakes with a couple of mine, but I think I didn't dig them down deep enough.
They like tomatoes in that you can bury the stem. They will grow extra roots, so you can pile the soil up around them. You need to irrigate them now because if you're planting them dry, you probably should do them in seed pots really and just get a bit of a seedling going and then put it. But when you put those seedlings in, you put them a metre apart.
Yeah.
That looks ridiculous when you're doing it. And just about always, I put them half a metre apart because that seemed more reasonable, but you always regret it because they grow up touching one another.
They
do.
They grow huge, yeah.
But you can, if you put them a metre apart, it's also pea planting time.
Yeah.
There's ground cover peas as well as climbing peas. So you can put your green feast peas or one of your ground-based ones in between the broccoli, and they'll grow up as a great companion, as a living mulch and all the rest of it, and that's probably the way to overcome your desire to plant them closer together.
That's true.
No, well, anyway, you've got to fertilise it and what have you, but I think we better move on.
Okay, so what are we harvesting? What aren't we harvesting would be a shorter list. What are you harvesting, though? Trevor, I had a gorgeous evening last night talking with gardeners. And my friend's now ex, I suppose, but he's a prolific gardener. He's got quite a big property and he's got lots of... He's right into keeping the genetic link, so he'll collect seeds and he'll remember from where he got them from. But it was really lovely sitting around with people, and it was down at Mount Compass. So, of course, that's very different. And their tomatoes aren't doing particularly well because it's been so cold this summer. But mine have been all right, enough for me to take a handful to work to munch on, and I'm happy with that, really.
Yeah, well, mine are still coming. I am getting tomatoes. I think that cold season is correct. I was doing better last year than I am this year, and I put a lot in. But they're the tomatoes. Small tomatoes and big ones are coming. They're doing well. The corn is terrific. I've got a succession planting coming on now. That's up above waist height. And it is very useful. We've had a couple of rice dishes using corn taken from the kernel. But you go out, you pick it 5 minutes before you put it in.
Yeah.
And then you throw it in the fried rice and the whatever my wife did last night, which was a sort of a marinated gluten steak thing.
Oh, yum.
The corn is doing very well. The zucchinis...
They're
a problem.
There's no such thing. Look at that. I can see them over there, Trevor. They're just begging to be stuffed.
Yeah, well, that's fabulous. Not easy either. But, I mean, we've got a lot of zucchinis this year, and that's by accident, really, because we've only got four plants, but they're producing like 12.
I made beautiful zucchini fritters the other week, my daughter-in-law and son. Just made a huge pile of them, and just instead of like a sandwich, like, you know what I mean? You just chuck some zucchini fritters in the pan, and the kids will eat them because they look like fun pancake.
Oh, well, there's a lot of recipes on the web with zucchinis, all sorts of things you can do with zucchini. I think you can mash them up too. And well, I suppose you do when you actually make patties out of them, don't you? Just squeeze the water out.
Yeah, and then just add, I do bee sand flour, so they're gluten-free.
Yeah, that makes it stickier too, doesn't it?
Yeah. And just curry powder, not anything too fancy. Bee sand flour, curry powder, maybe an egg, depends.
Yeah, yeah.
And then just fry them up. Absolutely fantastic. And I've done them where I've fried them up, like a big pancake.
Yeah.
And then you fill the middle with just all different vegetables and salad and stuff and then kind of roll it.
Mm.
That's really nice too. And I've made it instead of using like lasagna sheets or cannelloni sheets, I'll make a big zucchini fritter and then kind of put the tomato stuff, the spinach and stuff, roll it like a cannelloni. Put it in your tray, cover it with tomato sauce and bake it in the oven. Very, very nice and very, very good for you.
No, they're all Italian. The Italians are very good at that sort of thing. We're also getting all the other stuff that you're talking about, really, aren't we? We're getting the basil and the parsley and I've got capsicum and eggplant coming on too. I can show you them later. So the ratatouille and that is on the go.
Yum.
Spring onions are handy too.
Spring onions are always great. I think even sometimes better than the red onions because they're just easy, quick, and you can freeze them really well. I mean, I know you can freeze all onions, but I don't know. Spring onions are just always a bit more glam.
Well, you get them cheap enough. You get about six or so for $2, and then you can cut the roots off and plant them.
And plant them, yeah. That's what I did. Plant them. They came up beautifully. Yeah. I made a beautiful eggplant recipe a few weeks ago from somebody gave me the Poana cookbook, and I did not do it quite the justice of Poana, but it was a really lovely, different kind of recipe because they use a lot of yogurt, of course, in Afghani cooking, and just frying the eggplant with some beautiful yogurt dressing. Oh, just so good, so delicious.
Yes, well, that's about what I'm producing this year. So I have planted mustard and I have planted wheatgrass and I have planted alfalfa. So I am looking forward to doing more juicing.
Yeah.
Juicing is, I mean, it's probably too rich in some ways, isn't it? You can actually, well, okay, no, it's not.
No, it's not. I don't know. I've got a friend who doesn't like juice because she says she likes her food whole so she can feel like it eats it better. But I actually really like the juice because you wouldn't necessarily sit down and eat three carrots and two apples and a handful of parsley. And I don't think it hurts. I mean, it's, you know.
Well, I mean, that was old celery I just did then. So, you know, you perhaps don't use your best produce in your juicing, but juicing does seem to give you a pep.
It certainly does.
Drinking more than two a day.
Too much sugar, you think, or just...
It's very concentrated. The thing with carrots, for instance, is vitamin A. They've got so much vitamin A in them. If you had it every hour of the day, you'd probably get vitamin A poisoning.
That's true. Somebody I know, their skin actually went orange for drinking too much carrot juice.
Yeah.
Apparently that does that.
I mean, I think it's not likely to happen. And really, the one we had just before we started talking has, you know, fixed up our throats and done all sorts
it
of
has,
good stuff to it.
It has, because I was coughing from sitting outside in the cold. And it is lovely to just kind of, we joke about it, but you can get in the habit of the evening of sitting down to a glass of wine. And really it's that, I don't know that it's always the wine you necessarily want as that lovely idea of a special drink. Whereas if you've got a juice, chuck it in a wine glass, even if you chuck it in the freezer for a little bit. I would be very happy with that. And you know, sometimes you get this huge pile of parsley.
Yeah.
And you think, well, what are you going to do with it always? And I did used to juice my parsley a fair bit because I hated wasting it. I used to think,
I hate wasting. And I've planted carrots specifically. I mean, carrots are very, very good. You should probably be planting another lot of carrots now if you've got the soil for it. But it has to be a very sandy sort of soil for carrots. Carrots are magnificent, really.
Yeah.
They go with everything. And this year, too, we've had grapes, a lot of purple grapes. The whole of the Barossa Valley near here is talking about the earliness of the harvest. And also there's been a lot of fruit around, you know. There's been the oranges and the mandarins and the lemons and the limes, and there's been nectarines and peaches, and there's been a lot of fruit around. So you know, that too, if it's slightly off, if it's not world class, it goes into a juice very nicely.
Absolutely. I've had so many peaches this year, but I actually set up a little bit of a system with a friend who has a dryer, and she doesn't have peaches or room for them. So I gave her a big bag of peaches. She turned them into fruit straps, really simple. And we just shared half each. So she gave me half what she made. And then that was really lovely too, actually, the fruit straps and just the juice. But yeah, like you said, chuck a peach in the juice and just chop it all up and just cut the bits off. Mm. And my apples, I've actually been harvesting apples, which have been fabulous. But I don't know, you really can't eat more than one or two a day. Yeah. But if you put them through the juicer, you're more likely to eat two or three, which is, I think, a really good idea.
I don't know, the figs are coming on, but also they're having a hard time harvesting, aren't they? Yeah. Up in the country, everywhere across Australia. I had a pineapple from Queensland, $2.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, it had no top on it for some reason, but it was fine. So they're obviously struggling to get rid of their fruit because of the labour-intensive harvesting needed. So it might be a very good time to get healthy and juice.
I think. And also just before winter. Like actually get healthy and juice just before winter. It's when we're going to be staying inside more, getting a bit less vitamin D, and that's what we need. So what are we going to talk about next month? Well, actually, we might have a special guest. We might talk about sweet peas next month. What else are we going to talk about?
Well, March is preparation time. You know, I mean, all these crops, you should prepare them 6 weeks in advance. So we can always talk about soil preparation. I am being won over to the idea of more flowers too. And we were saying that we would mention our favourite flower.
We would. Is that just because it's Valentine's Day, Trevor? And you've,
you picked it.
I know, and you've given Nita. I actually adore flowers. I just came back from a friend's house and she's got zinnias. About four or five different types of colours. And I've been very successful growing almost one of those things where I found a whole packet of flower seeds and planted them next to my veggie beds. And I have had heaps of bees, and I swear that's why my vegetables have been so much better. But it's just gorgeous. So I reckon my favourite, you gave me some borage. I do love a borage flower. My borage flower is lovely. You know my favourite? I'm a simple girl. Sunflowers and daisies.
Yeah, I know, it's true. I've got sunflowers growing. I've recently become a fan of cosmos.
Oh, yes. And you know what else is beautiful is the passion fruit vine flower.
Yeah.
Oh, so good. So, like, really, is it? There's not really anything bad about a flower, is there? We just never talk about them. We're going to talk about flowers more. You're right, Trevor.
Well, I think we do have to list them. I mean, the trouble I find is that there's so many of them. Even without trying, you've got, you know, rosemary and lavender and salvia, and without even trying to list them. But, you know, there are people who are freakish, like people who are freakish with their lawns.
Because I had such good carrot season this year, I let a couple of them go to seed, and then they went to this tiny little flower ball. Mm. What a gorgeous plant, really. Like, I'm thinking, I'm so going to do that way more often. It was really lovely. And I walked past a house, taking my granddaughter for a walk the other day, and saw these agapanthus, which were bright red and bright blue.
Mm.
And I thought, I have never seen bright red agapanthus before. And I thought, I'm just going to have to ask the guy. I was even tempted to knock on the door, but fortunately he was sitting on his veranda. Lovely man. And I said, do you mind me asking, like, these agapanthus, they're the most iridescent red and blue. You know, I could see them in the background sort of thing, probably a good 5 or 6 metres from the footpath. And he laughed and he said, everybody loves those. And I said, oh, can I be cheeky and get a cutting? He said, no. He said, when they stop flowering, the stalk is still so strong that I get spray paint out and I spray paint the spires, you know, from the agapantha. And he goes, I do it every year. And every year everybody loves it and I've still got colour. And we were both just raw. And I just thought it was the most gorgeous, inventive way of gardening. Because I was like, I've never seen a red agapantha. And he goes, well, that's because they don't exist in the real world. It just goes to show some people are so obsessed with flowers, they'll do anything to hang on to it. It was just gorgeous. It was really, really lovely.
Yeah, and I can't forget, you know, marigolds and hollyhocks and all these other ones. That
beautiful.
You don't even try and you get 100 flowers.
I know. And then people complain. Someone complained to me once that hollyhocks were their weed. And I said, well, to have such a beautiful weed.
Oh, well, that comes in bright red.
Yeah. So I reckon we've got enough to talk about next month. What do you reckon?
I reckon we might have done it again.
So from the shed, from Trevor's shed.
Yes.
It's goodbye from Michelle.
And goodbye to you all from the shed man.